This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in Surah number 6, Surah An'am, he describes the plight of the prophets. He says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Prophets were rejected before. They were vilified publicly. And they were harmed. They were harmed and hurt by their people. فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا. But instead of reacting to this, instead of lashing out in vengeance, فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا, they bore patiently all these pains and rejections. And they continued doing this. حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Their patience continued until Allah's help and victory came to them. وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. There is no changing Allah's words. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَأِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And for sure, the stories of the prophets have come to you, O Prophet. Surah Al-An'am, this is surah number 6, according to the majority of the Mufassireen. This was the last surah revealed to the Prophet before he left from Mecca to go to Medina. And majority of the Meccan era Quran that was revealed to the Prophet comprised of the stories of the prophets of the past. So it's very fitting that at the very end of this, before the Prophet leaves Mecca and starts a new chapter in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Allah's words and Allah's ways do not change. Prophets before were harmed, they were hurt, they were rejected, they were vilified publicly. Okay? Just like the Prophet at that time was experiencing. Okay? So much so, you know, that وَأُوذُوا, like they were hurt, the Prophet was hurt physically. When he went to Ta'if, he was stoned until he was bleeding. And when the angel came to ask the Prophet, should I slam the two mountains upon these people that encapsulate the city of Ta'if? The Prophet said, no, that perhaps from their progeny, from their kids afterwards, people who will be born that will believe in Allah in the last day. The Prophet ﷺ did not harbor that vengeance in him. ﷺ. He harbored the mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He harbored the mercy in him, ﷺ, and he practiced that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him that people before, prophets before, had the same situation, experienced the same problems, and they remained patient until Allah's victory came to them. Okay? Allah's words don't change. Meaning, what happened in the past will happen to you too, O Prophet. The prophets in the past eventually won. You will too, O Prophet, if you are patient. And the same will happen to the people who are the followers of the prophets as well. If we are to bear our difficulties with patience, and if we're patient long enough, that's the key part. They were patient. Hatta atahum nasruna. They say hatta is lilghaya, right? It's like the word hatta signifies a goal. Okay, so they remain patient until they achieved their goal, which was Allah's help and victory. They didn't stop being patient when things got difficult or when the suffering prolonged. They continued. So if we are to be patient and patient long enough, our troubles will go away. Relief will come. Change will happen, just like it happened in the past as well. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet and guarantees to him, and applies to all of us as well. If you look at the stories of the prophets, and today I want to share a little bit from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam with you. 2 points, inshallah, from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. How he was hurt, how he was harmed, and how he remained patient in the face of that hurt, and until Allah made it easy for him, and until Allah gave him relief from his situation. I'll mention two things about his story. His story is unique in the Quran because his adversary was not Fir'aun. His adversary was not Abu Lahab or Abu Jahl, not people who are tyrants and oppressors and evil people. Those were not his adversaries. In fact, his adversaries were his own family, were his own brothers. And they were not actually evil people. They were not evil. Abu Lahab, as an example, is described in the Quran as Tabbatira Abi Lahabun Watab, as somebody who was completely destroyed. And the seal of destruction was put upon him even before he passed away. The only person, by the way, in the Quran named to go to the fire of hell while he was still alive. Only person. That's how evil this man was. SubhanAllah. The brothers of Yusuf al-Islam were not evil people. They are described in the dream that Yusuf sees as إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا 11 stars. They were like the stars in the dream. They were people who eventually redeemed themselves. But they were good people who made bad decisions. They were people who were good that made bad choices. And that's the unique part of the story. And that's where I think it's very applicable to our situation, in that we are always dealing with each other. And when people do things that are wrong and inappropriate, the tendency is to start labeling them as completely evil, completely useless. And that is not the right thing to do, as we'll see from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. He did not completely write them off. He did not completely unleash his punishment upon them when he had the opportunity. He treated them with love and respect and dignity and forgiveness. And through that brought out the best in them. In that lies the story, or in that lies the lesson for us as well. Just like Allah says, right? The prophets were hurt, ba'udhu, they were hurt a lot. But they remain patient until the victory of Allah came. Same thing here. If we are hurt by somebody or a group of people, but we remain patient long enough, the victory of Allah and the relief will come as well. The same thing will happen. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam is unique because he was betrayed by people who were supposed to protect him. He was betrayed by the very people who were supposed to be wa inna lahu lahafizun, supposed to be guardians over him. In fact, they lied about that and they betrayed his trust. And that hurts. It hurts to be betrayed. It hurts even more to be betrayed by somebody who's supposed to love and protect you. It hurts even more. Yusuf alayhi salam, the lesson number one that we can take from his life is, how do we deal with that pain? Should that pain of betrayal, should that make us bitter? Should it make us salty? Or should it make us people of upright character? Should it bring out the best of our character, the best of our forgiveness in the face of this pain? That's the lesson in his from his story in his life. If you look at his story very quickly, he was a young boy when he saw a dream. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ. He said that, I have seen these stars, 11 stars, and the sun and the moon making sajda to me. And this was his father, Yaqub, who was a prophet, realized right away that this is a sign that this child is going to be a prophet as well. Continue in the lineage of prophethood, he's the next one. But being afraid of jealousy and envy of the brothers, Ya'qub told his son, don't tell this dream to your brothers. فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. They'll do something against you. plot and plan against you. Before I continue, if I can just request the brothers to make a little bit of space, because there's a few people standing in the back. Kindly just fill in the gaps ahead of you. Barakallahu fikum. Despite not knowing the dream that Yusuf had seen, the brothers still plotted and planned against Yusuf. Plotted and planned against him to the point where they took him under the false pretense of going out to have, you know, fun in the park, and in fact took him and tossed him in a well, basically leaving him there to die. If that's not, like, you know, immediate death, it's, you know, prolonged suffering, leaving him there. Subhanallah. He's in the well. He has now been taken away from his family. He's been robbed of the most precious experience a child has, which is building the bond with his parents when he's young. He's been robbed of that for no fault of his own. A group of travelers came by. They fished him out of the well and sold him into slavery. Now he's robbed of his freedom as well. Doesn't have the freedom to do what kids his age do. He's a slave. He just obeys the order of his master. No questions asked. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ease in this difficult situation for Yusuf. And he said to him, the person who bought him treated him really well. He said to his wife, the Aziz, he said to his wife, that أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Treat this young man well. Treat him well and make sure that he's comfortable. Perhaps we'll adopt him as a son down the road. He grows up in this house. And as he's growing up in this house, the lady who is supposed to be like a mother figure for him, she is the one who now betrays him. How does she betray him? She is so in love with him that she wants to have an affair with him. Betray her husband, the trust of her husband, by having an affair with him. And she plots this very, very well. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Closes all the doors, locks them up completely. No way for anybody to get in. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. And she's, you know, inviting him. But Yusuf alayhi salam responds to that. He says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. He says, I seek Allah's protection. I seek Allah's refuge. Ma'ad is, you know, from isti'adha, right? It's when you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, that's called isti'adha in Arabic, which is to seek Allah's refuge and protection. And ma'ad is the Mufassirin describe it as, you know, ism maf'ul, right? It's like a place, or ism makan, like a place, something that describes a place. So he's saying, I seek Allah's shelter. I seek a place where I can be protected from this temptation. Literally. Ma'ad Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwaya. He is my Lord. He has treated me really well. Allah is my Lord. He's treated me really well. And your husband is my Lord. He is my master. And he has treated me really well as well. I cannot betray his trust by engaging in this action. SubhanAllah. Justice was served where he was declared innocent and she was declared guilty. But he was treated like a guilty person. He was told, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, ignore this. Keep this on the down low. Don't let people know about this. Nobody needs to know about this, that this has happened between you and this woman. Okay? Treated like someone, like as if he is guilty, when he's not. Eventually, like anything, news gets out. People heard about this. People are talking about it. And to the point where it got so loud, the conversation got so loud, that the people decided the only way to hush this conversation is to put Yusuf away in prison. Get him out of sight, so he's out of mind. And now here he is again, subhanAllah, for no fault of his own. Not guilty at all. Not in the least. But imprisoned. Robbed of his freedom. His name sullied. Again, he is betrayed by people who are supposed to protect him. The people who are supposed to watch out for him are the same people who ended up betraying him. And he is in prison for many years. فَلَبِيْثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Many, many years he stays in prison and continues to languish in prison. Eventually though, the opportunity to come out of prison presents itself. Alhamdulillah, Yusuf alayhi salam comes out of prison. But before he comes out, he makes sure that his name is cleared. And when his name is cleared, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally gives him the honor and dignity that he deserves, which is the position of اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. He is responsible for the agriculture of all of the land. So he has all the power. He is the one who holds the leverage in any discussions, any business discussions. He's the guy who holds all the leverage because all of the agriculture is under his authority. And when he is in that situation, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And at that moment, his brothers walked in. His brothers, who threw him out down the well, robbed him of his relationship with his father, got him sold into slavery, his whole life that he suffered, started with that one incident, those people who did that to him are finally in his court. And he holds all the cards. They don't hold any cards. And this is the lesson, brothers and sisters, from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. He had all the power to punish them, to humiliate them, to take them to task, because he was, you know, fully in charge. اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. It was his decision. Whatever he says goes. But this is where the beauty of the character of Yusuf al-Islam shines. This is where the beauty of his character really shows. Instead of being bitter, instead of being bitter about what has happened to him, he responds to his brothers, who don't know that he is Yusuf, by the way. They don't know that's Joseph sitting there. He responds by treating them really well, giving them a very good deal. In fact, giving them free stuff for their while they're doing business. In the middle of these transactions and business, there is a slander made against him. يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And again, instead of lashing out and unleashing his vengeance upon the brothers, he stays silent. Even though he has all the power. You know, it's two different things. If you are powerless and someone does something to you and you can't do anything to them, you're not really being forgiving, right? You're not like magnanimous here or something. You're just powerless, okay? It's a completely different ballgame where you have all the power in the world to extract revenge, but you don't. That's who Yusuf al-Islam was. He had all the power, but he didn't do so. He controlled himself, he let it go. And eventually, finally, when everything became known that he is Yusuf, he is the brother thrown in the well, they said, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Are you Joseph? Are you Yusuf? He said, yes, I am Yusuf. That's me. And he said to his brothers on that day, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There is nothing I have in my heart against you. I have no grudges in my heart. I hold nothing. I have forgiven you. And I pray that Allah forgives you. يغفر الله لكم. I pray that God also forgives you for your mistakes. SubhanAllah. This, my brothers and sisters, is the lesson that we learn from the story of Yusuf al-Islam, the story of Joseph in the Quran, which is that he was betrayed by the closest people to him, the people who were supposed to watch out for him. But instead of becoming bitter and angry at life, instead of being upset at everything that has gone wrong in his life, instead of blaming everybody, he had the right to blame them because it was their fault. It wasn't his fault. Instead of blaming those people, he chose to forgive them. He chose to bring out the best in them through his love and kindness and generosity. And this is a very easy thing to say. It is an extremely hard thing to do. نقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي وأستغفر الله لكم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا أما بعد. When the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the 7th or 8th year after migrating from Mecca, realizes the opportunity to overwhelm the people of Mecca by bringing in an army of large numbers, so large that the people of Mecca stand no chance. and it will be a bloodless conquest. The Prophet ﷺ does so. He marches into Mecca with humility, and the people of Mecca surrender to the Prophet of Allah. And at that point, the Prophet of Allah ﷺ holds all the cards. He has all the leverage. He has all the power. There are in front of him the criminals who killed his uncle Hamza. And there are the criminals who tortured Bilal. And there are the people who tortured Sumayya and Ammar. And there is the person who did this to the Prophet. And here are the people who kicked him out of his own city. 20 years the Prophet ﷺ suffered at the hands of these people. And now he has a chance. It's his decision. The ball is in his court. What does the Prophet of Allah ﷺ say at this point? He says to them,
I will say to you what my brother Yusuf said. I will say to you what my brother Joseph said to his brothers, which is, La tathriba alaykumul yawm.
I have no grudge in my heart against you. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ I have forgiven you, may Allah forgive you as well. اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَاءُ Go, you are all free. That beauty of character, my brothers and sisters, that is what the guidance of the prophets, that's what it's supposed to bring out in us. It's not supposed to bring out vengeance and a desire to hurt others. It's supposed to bring out in us the desire for bringing out the best in others. Even when those very people have hurt us personally, have caused us great pain. This is the lesson, or one the main lesson from the story of Joseph and the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is from the same implementation we find in the life of the Prophet ﷺ when he conquered Mecca. And this level of suffering that they suffered, none of us have suffered this much. All of us put together would not have suffered this much. So if their response was so beautiful, so perfect, then what should our response be to things that happened between us? Should it be a response of bitterness and anger and hatred, or should it be a response of love? That is the guidance. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِرٌ Those are the people, those prophets. They are the ones that Allah has guided. So follow their guidance, so you can be guided as well. We ask Allah to give us the ability, the tawfiq, to follow the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ and follow the guidance of all the prophets mentioned in the Quran. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and the Sunnah and implement them in our lives. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم أحينا على سنته وأمتنا على ملته واحشرنا في زمرته واسقنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين O Allah, send your prayers and blessings upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and allow us to live and die like him and resurrect us in his company on the day of judgment and give us a drink from his pond on the day of judgment اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة Our Master, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and save us from the torment of the fire of hell.